Hey everyone, Ian Walker Stuff Podcast Show. This week's episode, gonna be doing more thank yous to everybody in the world. Gonna be saying my thanks to some of you guys out there specifically. This week, be focusing on the topic of the five love languages. Gonna be talking about the book, Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman. And kind of taking some, giving my views on that book in particular. And then finally, we're going to be talking about crazy drivers. This was a show idea that I got from one of the Instagram listeners. So I'll be talking about that and more on this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. Stay tuned. Welcome to the Stuff, the podcast where you and I literally talk about what else? Stuff. This is your comedic escapist podcast show, and I'm your host, Ian Walker. Now, let's go talk about some stuff. I was supposed to record this episode the night before, but man, Ian got tired, y'all. I was like, hey man, I gotta stay up, man. I gotta record this podcast late. Gotta get this out. I mean, we're still gonna be out on Tuesday, but you know, I gotta get this out. I can get a good start. I'm awake. I'm fresh right now. My eyes was like, not today. My eyes was drooping like I was high. I don't even smoke because that's not what I do, but my eyes were so heavy, it was ridiculous, and they would not let me stay awake. So I said, you know what, I'm just gonna wake up early and just jump in and do this podcast, because yeah, if I try to go in trying to be a hero, I'll mess around here and give a slipshod product, and I am not about that life, at least not trying to be. Anyway, so this past week Anchor gave out, well, not gave out, but the Anchor app, which is the app that I use personally to record my podcast, because it's pretty dope, made an update to their app, and they added this analytics feature to it. And I'm starting to think, you know, at first, okay, again, as a lot of you guys know, I can read and spell, but when it comes to math and numbers and stuff like that, I do okay, but it's not my cup of tea, okay? When I see a graph or I see numbers, my eyes just gloss over. That's probably part of the reason why I'm not so great on social media. See, that's why I need somebody out there, want to help a brother out with social media, holler at me. But it's probably why I'm not the best at it, because I read analytics and I'm like, okay, there's 2% of people. Nice. Or I'll look at something, oh, that part of the world. But there's one part of analytics that I am very cognizant of and that I love and that I appreciate. Looking on Anchor, man, I found that my podcast is, let alone just heard, you know, across the world. The furthest one that it showed was in India, Bangladesh. That means there is a dude out there either riding a bike, driving a cab, at a food stand, doing their work, herding cattle. I don't know what they're doing in India. And apologies if that sounded a little racist. I'm just going on based on what I think I know, because I don't know. But there's somebody out there listening to this podcast. Somebody's out there listening to the stuff while they're doing their stuff. And that was stinking cool. Okay? So I was super happy about that. It kind of gave me a boost of, you know, a little bit of pride. I'm like, yeah, somebody like this stuff worldwide, baby. Yeah, coming up. Yes. All 30 of my listeners, boy. Yeah, all day. Let's do this, y'all. All 30 of us. Let's run. You know, 30, that's not bad. It's, you know, it's, I think that's a good number of people. I don't know if it's 30 for sure. I'm just guesstimating, you know, because I know it's not hundreds of listeners, at least not yet. It's not thousands, not yet. It's not hundreds of thousands, not yet. But I know it's probably got to be at least 30 people, You know what I'm saying? That's a good oversized classrooms group of people. You know, for a podcaster, having 30 people, you know, inside of a room is a great thing. That's an audience. That's a full on round of applause. You know what I'm saying? That's a good thing for us. You know, I'll take it. You know, give me a little pride. It'll make my heart skip a little bit. They're like, whoa, yeah. You know, 30 people, that's an oversized classroom. Thank you. You know, so India is one of those. The UK was another one. Somebody's sipping crumpets and tea, listening to some, you know, some British pop music, you know, something. And then after that, on their rides home, you know, they're listening to the Stuff podcast show, you know. Maybe they're listening to it during crumpets and tea time, if that is really a thing still, you know. That's awesome. I'm so stoked about that. That is dope. I'm like, So this podcast is being heard at the very least. Whether y'all turn it off for about 5 seconds, it's like, nope, I'm good. I don't need to listen to any more of this. This is garbage. This is trash. This podcast is disgusting. I don't know what you guys think or feel, but hey, at least you gave it a listen. You gave it a shot. If you are full-on listeners, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. You guys are awesome. So I wanted to do that really quick. What I've started to realize, I think, and this is not, I'm not saying this because I was thinking about giving up the podcast, because podcasting is like art for me. It's one of those things that I always go back to, even though I may take a break from it for a little while, for some time. Even though this time around, I'm really trying not to do that. I need to be more consistent with this because I really want to go somewhere with this. But sometimes when you're making decisions, you look at just things at where you're going and you're wondering, like, okay, is this really worth the time that I'm taking to do all of this? You know, is all the preparation, all the money I'm spending? And that's with anything in life. You know, a lot of times we're just like, at the end of the day, we all look back at what we're doing. And we're like, is this a waste of time? You know, could this be feeding my babies? You know, could I be buying something nice for myself? Could I be saving this money for something better? You know? And analytics are cool because they kind of give you that reassurance, that little ego boost, that little jolt you need. To be like, hey, somebody out there is listening to you. Keep it going. You know? So for me, that was huge. I really appreciate that. I really think that's kind of the Cliff Notes version of why analytics are so important. Yes, there's the math part of it. There's, yeah, you take that and you input that into your strategy and, you know, social media and blah, blah, blah. I used to work in that for a little while. Found out it wasn't my cup of tea because just analytics just was not me. And you do have to work with that and integrate that into your social media strategy. But you know, you need those things, and I see how it can be a useful tool on a more personal level to show you that what you're doing is being appreciated somewhere. So that's why when this aspect of Anchor came out, it was pretty cool. And online, they go more into detail. I mean, they go into not just the country. Like, Apple just be like, hey, this is the country. You got 52 people listening there. Woo! Anchor's like, listen, they're in India. Then you click it, and they're like, they're in Bangladesh. And then you click Bangladesh, and then they're like, they're listening. There's a listener in Uttarakhand who's listening to your podcast. I just want to find that dude in Uttarakhand. I don't know. I don't remember the name. I'm just giving an example. But whoever you are, dude, thank you for at least giving me a shot. Or at least hearing the first 5 seconds and skipping. I'm grateful for that too, because you didn't have to skip. You didn't have to click it. You didn't have to click it. You know, there's people on my Instagram stories. I get so hyped when people comment on my Instagrams. I'm like, ooh, somebody left a comment, y'all. Yes. Yes, I'm clicking it. You know, I immediately respond. You know, I get happy. Because most people just swipe. They'll see a dead-on question. I have somebody at my work that listens to my podcast, and she follows my Instagram page, and she's like, yeah, I see your little questions and stuff, but I just swipe past. She said it with a grin on her face. Ding. I was like, all right. Mm-hmm. I had that Kevin Hart look on my face like, mm-hmm. All right, you swipe straight on through, huh? You see a question there, you just don't even want to try to answer it, you know, even though you know that's gonna help me in my future and what I'm trying to build, you know, this empire right here, this legacy. And you just gonna swipe past it like it's Tinder? Okay, I feel you. It's all good. Love you anyway. Hey, at least you're listening. You know, I take my silver linings and clouds where I can get them. You know, next time I answer the question, love you, Amy. Shout out. yeah, put your business in the street. So, yeah, but it's really cool. I appreciate that aspect of analytics because, like I said, it gives you that boost. So, everyone in the UK, everyone in India, y'all listening way over there, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for giving me a shot, whether it's for 5 seconds, whether it's for 5 minutes, whether it's for 55 minutes. Thank you so much. Everybody in the US, y'all know I love y'all. Y'all, you know, everywhere. I notice a lot of people in the Bay Area are listening to my podcast. And a lot of people, there's people in SAC that are listening to the podcast as well, which is super cool and is very much appreciated. I would like to, one day when I get up to the status that I want to, get this mobile podcast and video podcast thing kind of the place where I want it to go, where I can pick up and go. I like to go to somewhere out in the Bay Area or somewhere and do live shows and just have people hang out, ask questions, just have like a not like a well, I mean, I guess it could grow to something to be like an audience or something like that, but just have like a sit down, you know, where, you know, we're all just shooting the breeze, just talking, you know, and you know, giving opinions on things about life. I think that'd be kind of cool and get people to engage more. That's a cool idea to do. I wouldn't do it all the time, not gonna lie, but I mean, I think it would be something to do every once in a while. Go to a comic shop or something and do that. You know, I think that'd be cool. That'd be really cool. So, I'm trying to go down the list. Another thing on the analytics that's, yo, ooh, this is really cool. On Instagram and on the Anchor Analytics, I guess they have some kind of thing where it shows what gender listens to your podcast more. 46%, 46 to 8, 48% of people that listen to my podcast are women. That is cool. I am super happy about that because from what I know and what I've heard, most podcast content is absorbed by guys, especially with the genre that I speak on and that I talk about. However, for my podcast, I shouldn't be surprised because actually my most active contributors to my podcast are women. So now that I'm thinking back on it, doubling back, that makes sense, you know, that they would be more. But it's 50, see, here we go with math again. See, my brain is starting to hurt, y'all. 54 to 52%, 52 to 54% are men, and then 46 to 48% are women. So that's almost straight down the line. And that's exactly what I want to accomplish with this podcast because I want everybody to be able to absorb this content. Somebody left a comment saying this is all for all ages. You know, my kids can even listen to it, which is the goal. I want everyone to be able to listen to this. That's why with my format, I talk about everything. I talk about everything minus religion and politics. You know, it's something that everyone can enjoy, experiences I'm hoping people can relate to. And so that's why I ask, you know, when I post these things up online to leave me your comments or your opinions because I use that stuff. I listen. I'm hearing for the people. I'm here for y'all. You know, I need you. You know what I'm saying? So I appreciate all of that feedback because this is not just me. If I'm gonna be a talking head, I want to be a talking head that's talking about things that you want to hear and that you want to listen to. So that's why I don't try to stay so genre specific. I mean, I have another podcast where I am very genre specific, and that is catered to a specific audience. But when it comes to the stuff podcast show, you know, we talk about stuff. So anything that, you know, you guys are into, I want to hear about it. So, you know, please contribute. You know, I want to build this. I want to make this hot. Okay, hot. All right. And yeah, so again, I just want to take the time to say thank you to you guys. I appreciate everything, the listening that you do, and the continued support. And things are moving pretty well. Got some new gears up. I put out a new unboxing video, which is a show that I have on my YouTube channel. It's called Outside the Unbox. So if you find the Stuff Podcast Show on YouTube, subscribe, follow that. And I'm opening some stuff. I'm not going to be like one of those hype men, unboxers. Oh, I'm opening the new iPhone 10. I'm not, you know, if I got an iPhone 10, I'll do a video on it. But it's not, I'm not doing a video just to get that stuff, just to do an unbox video. When I get something cool, I'll do an unbox video and I'll throw it up. Boom. You know, that's what Outside the Unbox is. That's what that's going to be. And so I can't say that that's one that's always going to be up, because I ain't got money to be buying stuff all the time. Okay, that's just reality. Okay, but when someone's up there, bloop, want to pop up, awesome. And then same thing with my interview series is Behind the Stuff, which is my interview show that I'll do on YouTube also. I'm going to start doing those. I'm going to start having once a month episodes, once or twice a month episodes. I'm going to... you'll probably hear the podcast version of it first, which is going to be the once a month deal where I have interviews on. And then shortly after that, you'll have the video of the podcast that was done, so that you guys can see a lot more regarding that. So, yeah, there's a lot going on, a lot that I'm looking forward to. I bought some new gear. I'm doing an unboxing video actually in a few days that you'll see. I bought some more gear, which makes my podcasting station a little bit more stationary. But when I need to pick up a go, I'll just use my headset and an iPad to record, because Anchor is so dope, I could do that. But for a more stationary look at what I want to do, you know, I bought a Yeticaster, which is one of the top of the line gears you could get in podcasting. And I can't wait to see what I'll be able to do with that, y'all, because it's going to be what? And then again, video podcasting once a month, video podcast episodes once a month. And if you guys like it, you know, I may do it more. That just depends on how much y'all want to see my mug. You know, if you guys want to see it once a month, twice a month, three times a month, every week, you know, that's going to be up to you guys. I know for sure it will be once a month starting out. Just to see how everything works out. And for all my video interviews also, that's what I'll be using it for. So, anyways, that's enough on that. I want to move on to the next segment and continue on with the show. And again, so just again, quick thank you, everybody. You guys are amazing. All right, so let's get moving on. So I wanted to talk about a book that I read, that I've been reading, that I've read over a couple times. Done by an author named Gary Chapman. He created a book called The Five Love Languages, and I thought that would be something cool to talk about. I've never done a book review before on here, so I thought, hey, you know what? Let me try to do a book review and see if other people are into it. You know, my opinion on this book is that it is amazing. On a personal note, you know, I was married once before. I'm not going to go too deep, but I was married once before, and let me tell you, this book is one of the things that I wish I had being younger, that I had to help me out to really figure it out and get to the meat of things that was going on. I honestly believe had I had this detailed information, I think it could have done a world of difference in my past relationships. So this book is completely amazing. I am a deeply religious person. I'm very devoted to my religion and its tenets, and I try to live my life according to the Bible and Bible principles, and it's obvious that this author, you know, has a sense of religion too. So when it comes to outside sources of information, I'm very careful and very picky on what I choose, because I want to make sure that it is in line with my personal beliefs and, you know, how I feel about things and my personal deal. And this is not to impede on anybody else's beliefs. This is just more on a personal level. Just, I have to make sure that it aligns with my personal beliefs and with my, and it's okay with my conscience to be able to take it in, to absorb it. You know, I'm open-minded, but at the same time, that open-mindedness does have limits, because being too open-minded can be dangerous. So when I look at and absorb new things, I try to make sure that it is in line with those beliefs that I have. This book is definitely in line with those things. I'm a sucker for relationships. I enjoy them. I thrive off of them. Whether it be friendships, whether it be, you know, intimate relationships, you know, whatever the case is. And this book touches on those things. The book, in general, I'm gonna go ahead and pull it up while I'm talking about it, is details and talks about five specific love languages that each person has, and how important it is to learn these different dialects. So one of the love languages talked about was words of affirmation. Another one was quality time. Another is gift giving or receiving gifts. Another is acts of service. And the final one is physical touch. And what it talks about is that each one has specific things. Every person, I'm sorry, has a specific love language that they primarily speak. And if you speak that love language to that person in whatever relationship you have with them, whether it be friendship, intimate, family, whatever the case is, that you will fill up their love tank, and that person will always feel loved. With my, you know, personal tenets and my beliefs, you know, love is very, very important. It's a serious thing. And, you know, a true tenet of love is serving others first before yourself. And this book, I think, really backs that personal conviction up, at least for me personally, because, you know, if you do truly love someone, you're not going to think of yourself first. You're going to try to think of things to do for that person to make them happy. And a big mistake that a lot of us make at times is that, you know, like I said, because we each have our own love language, we tend to do and perform in ways that make us happy, thinking that, okay, well, if it makes me happy, it's going to make them happy. Obviously, you know, if it makes me happy, you know, if I like getting gifts, I'm going to give them gifts, because that's what it's all about, you know. Or if I like being touchy-feely, you know, that other person's going to be touchy-feely, you know what I mean? But that's not the case. It's not the case. And each person has a different love language. And once you find that, the premise of it is that pretty much you will fill their love tank and you will make them feel better about themselves, and you can build the relationship further because you're speaking that person's direct love language and you're making them happy. The relationship has a much better chance of succeeding. Now, each one, words of affirmation, quality time, gift giving, acts of service, physical touch, each of those has what's called a dialect, right? Just like all regular languages have, you know, their own dialect. You may speak Spanish, but there's different dialects of Spanish depending on what region of South America you're from, right? Spanish may sound a little similar, but it's very different in its own way. Same thing with these, you know, love languages. So, words of affirmation, you know, they may not speak that same dialect as you if their love language is words of affirmation. You know, you may think, hey, good job. Well, good job is, you know, just generic to them, but sometimes they need to be specifics in those words of affirmation, you know, and telling them exactly what about the job that they did that you appreciated and that you liked, or something, just being more specific in general. Same thing with quality time, you know, so maybe not just sitting up in the house watching Netflix, you know. Sometimes for someone, just being in the same room doing different activities is fine, or going out or doing some kind of physical activity, going to concerts or something like that, or just doing an activity together is a form of quality time, or that dialect that that person appreciates. So when you discover your own and then discover the other person's love language, you know, you then have a choice to make as to whether or not you want to do that and perform that love language for that person, or you're going to be selfish and do what you want to do, you know, which ain't cute, you know. So I appreciated the book because it was so straightforward. It was easy to understand. The book is a very quick read. Like I said, I've read the book about 3 times personally. And again, not delving into religion, but I try to base the things that I read on, you know, my personal convictions and Bible principles that I try to follow in my life. And everything just lines up and meshes so perfectly. And even if you're not a religious person, you know, just the overall concept of just loving other people, this book really covers the base. The first book I read, I mean, there's 5 different books in the series. There's ones for couples, there's ones for single people, men, your teenagers and kids, and in the workplace. But honestly, you know, if you learn the languages of everybody that you're with and find out what their primary love language is, I mean, you pretty much got it made at that point. I mean, everybody's love language is not going to change depending on who they're with. You know, I've come to realize that it's just that person, who they are, and if anybody in that relationship can tap into what that language is, then, you know, they'll be able to do that. So, you know, they go into different things. They give a lot of experiences and stories. Dr. Chapman talks about different couples who have been on the brink of their marriage being destroyed, or relationships just being done altogether. And people, you know, thinking that they're doing the right thing in their particular love languages, but they're speaking their own love language. And instead of finding out what that other person's is, they're just doing what they think they know, or what they think is right. And it's taken a simple word. Sometimes it's taken a long process. I remember one experience in the book where he had a couple who was on the brink of, you know, on the brink of separation. And, you know, I mean, it was actually very bitter. It was pretty bad. And he talked to each of them individually, and they both had their own, you know, different things, and he figured out what each of their love languages were. And he gave them each a task that they had to do. The deal was he figured out that they were still able to survive because they did still love each other very much. But, you know, because things weren't working out, they fooled themselves into thinking that maybe they had married the wrong person or whatever the case was. But Dr. Chapman sat with them and had them each do a project weekly and told them to do it over the next 3 months, pretty much making a list. Like, I believe the wife's was acts of service. One of her biggest things was that she would complain about her husband not cleaning or not painting a wall in the kid's room or something like that. But he was supposed to paint a wall and he hadn't done it. And so she was constantly getting on his case about painting the wall. And it was getting to the point where he was nagging me and it never got done. Right? So, you know, he said to her, okay, I want you to try this. He said, I want you to not bring up the wall anymore. He said, don't talk about it. Don't bring it up. Don't get mad about it. He goes, but when he does something that you like, I want you to compliment him on it. And she was like biting her lip. She's like, no, I can't do what I want to do. No. But she buckled down. She did it. And 3 weeks later, when she comes back to see him, she was elated and happy, and the guy, she did exactly what he said. She didn't bring up the wall, she didn't bring up anything, but just complimented him on what he did, and he painted the wall on his own. There was no pressure from her or anything like that. He just did it on his own. And finding out that his love language was words of affirmation. So, and then vice versa with her, her biggest was acts of service. And he was thinking he would spend quality time with her. He, went to work, worked hard. He thought, hey, I make the money. I do what I'm supposed to do. I come home, she asked me to paint a wall. I'm tired. I don't paint no wall. Serious? And real talk, some of us men do that. I was one of those. I kind of was like, man, I'm tired. I was young and dumb. Got married when I was 21, so did a lot of dumb stuff, just not realizing, the real deal with stuff. But this guy did the same thing, and pretty much wanted. He told her, Dr. Chapman asked him to start writing down all the things that she did around the house, all the positive things that she did, and keep a list of those things, and to, say those things for her, and to volunteer to do something, that was an act of service, but was a little bit different for her, to show that that was his appreciation. Long story short, over about, I believe it was like 3 to 6 months of doing this, and both of them really committing to it all, and really working at it, marriage was saved. Marriage was good. And it all goes back to a willingness to work and a willingness to commit to each other. When we get married, that is what we say in our vows, right? Better or worse, we're supposed to be partners, supposed to be compliments to one another. But nowadays people just give up. They give up. And because this world, a lot of things in the world is just so self-centered. I want to do what's right for me, or, I want to do what makes me feel good, and never thinking about the other person, displaying that true love. Oh, I need to love myself first before I love anybody else. It's like, for real? Like, how do you expect to receive that if you're not willing to give it? And especially in these types of relationships where marriage rates now, it's like, it used to be like a 50% rate. Now it's like 60 to 70, because people have marriages and weddings, like dance parties now. That's pretty much, it seems like that's all they are nowadays. It's very rare to hear of anybody. Whenever I hear somebody, oh, we've been married for over 50 years or over 30 years, I'm giving them rounds of applause. I'm like, yas, honey, yas. What are you doing? How are you? What do you do? How are you guys working together? I think that's where a lot of experience comes in too. You gotta ask those questions, to people. Because I'm super impressed with people that really stick it out. And it shows how much they love each other too, because they it's obviously a sign of a team of people that are willing to sacrifice and do for each other before themselves. Oh, well, that sounded terrible. Willing to love the other person before they love themselves. So they do for each other, before themselves. And it's super important. And so as a whole, this book really goes into that. There's a whole lot of other experiences in this book that are just great stories. It shows how, to just keep this up. It's not, and they don't talk about, they don't say that it's going to be easy, because reality is, we all work, we get tired. We're perfect. We make mistakes. Sometimes we're not consistent. I know consistency is one of my things that I'm always working on, so keeping up with that, it's not always going to be the most easiest thing, but if we make the decision to continue on with it and to keep going and to keep moving despite whatever we might go through or whatever is happening in our lives, maybe with kids or work or, you know, other extended family issues, illness, whatever it is, financial troubles, you know, we're going, you know, it's a good shot of being able to work at it. And it's, and I'm always of the old school belief of, you know, the man of the house is supposed to provide and do everything that he can to keep it together. I'm on a personal belief that it is the man's responsibility to keep the family together at all costs, by any means necessary. There is no outs for the man that decides to take this on. And I think it's part of the reason why that a lot of young guys nowadays are so turned off by relationships too, because deep down they know what responsibility they have to fulfill. And if they don't meet that responsibility, they're assured it in some kind of way, they're going to be looked at as a bad guy. Which, in my opinion, you kind of should. You know, you're there to build. I mean, that's one of our things. You know, we provide, you know, and we build. But when you have a great woman by your side that's willing to build with you and to build a legacy and to add to what you bring to the table, incredible. Okay, incredible. You know, so it's super important. And being through marriage myself, and, you know, hoping to do that again, you know, this book was amazing. It expounded a lot on the things that I know and learn. It was kind of like a breakdown, which is really, really helpful. And I think a lot of people that are looking to get married or want to have these types of relationships should really look into this book. Dr. Chapman talked about having, every person has one primary love language, but generally there are three that everybody has. Like, there's your first primary love language, there's your secondary, and then there's your third. And speaking those three at the same time will build, like, oh man, but the primary one being the most important. But doing those three, you know, for the other person will make that hot. So I'm curious to have people to read this book, and because they have like a test or a quiz towards the end of it that you can look into, and you can, you know, find out what your love language is, and, you know, read it and talk about it. I think that is super important to do. Communication, super duper important, because, you know, without that communication, you can't work successfully together. There is no team building that is happening, you know. And find out what that language is, find out how they can accomplish it, listen, you know, without judging, and, you know, things can go good. I know when I go my second time around, man, it's a good resource, and it's a good book that I agree to have on my shelf. Again, I'm very selective with my reading as far as self-help and all of those things are concerned, because there's a lot of people out there with some thoughts that are like, for real, what planet you get that off of? You know, Melmac ain't a real planet. You need to come back to Earth and reality, please. Okay, that ain't cute. You need to stop that. But this one was one that I really appreciate. It's actually relatable, and it's actually something useful. And it breaks it down. For some of us that can't break that down, a lot of us are stuck sometimes too. Be like, how do I do that? I don't know how to go about it. It breaks it down really, really well. Really well. I mentioned there are five other books in the series. I've read the one, Five Love Languages for Men, showing us how us dudes, man, sometimes we get a little clueless at times. You know, we're very direct. We got to have stuff told to us straight up. Don't play, because we want to fix everything, or we always got a solution for something. Sometimes we just got to shut it. Just listen, or, you know, whatever. There's the book that's great for men. I think you should read up on that too. I'm in the middle of reading that right now myself. Great information, and it goes deeper into our role as men and how we can nurture the marriage and how we can keep it strong and how we can please our partners, our ladies, and in the relationship, which is super cool. Super, super cool. And again, falls in line with, you know, my personal conviction, so I have no trouble with, you know, delving into that a little bit. It really, really is amazing. So I'm curious to know if there are some of you guys out there who have either read the book or have heard of it and haven't gotten a chance to read it yet. I suggest you read it. If you have read it, what are some thoughts that you got from it? What are your favorite parts in the book? What did you get out of it that you have applied or that you want to apply from it? I'd love to hear from you guys on that. I know you guys are sitting there, Ian, you talked about love languages. You say what your love language is. I ain't going to tell you. It's my business. I'll say lies. I'm going to say one of them. I'll say, well, somebody popping off fireworks. That's awesome. Like, somebody's really popping off right now. See it? Wow. Okay, so anyway. Okay, finally, they're done. That was like a good 30 seconds of just popping off fireworks and shots and stuff. Anyway, one of the love languages I have is quality time. That is one of them. That's one of the three. But I ain't saying another two because that belongs to my future, whoever she may be. But I am curious to know what you guys have found and what you guys have appreciated. Again, highly recommended book. Very easy read. It's not too complicated. It's very straightforward. No techno babble. You know, no psychological jargon that is hard to understand. It's super fast. I mean, you could sit down literally read the book in an afternoon, you know, and then you'll go back over it again and, you know, always learning more from it. Really, really, really good book. I definitely recommend it. I think it should be required reading for anybody that's about to get married and or is in a, even in a relationship, you know, because, you know, and again, I have personal convictions where if you're dating and you're trying to, you know, you're dating somebody, you're trying to get to know someone, that means you're ready for marriage. You're trying to find that one, you know. And if you're not ready to find that one, you just should not be dating. You should just keep being selfish and do everything that you want to do. Get it out of your system. Just go travel. Do everything that you want to do. Get all of that out. Get it all out. If you have any inkling of selfish, get it out. Get it out. Because once you get married, that's it. It's you and her, or you and him. That is it. And then especially when kids come in the picture, that unit already needs to be tight before you take on them kids. Because these babies out here, y'all, I tell you something, that's a whole nother subject altogether. Okay? There's some kids out here that need some whoopings. Okay? And that's because there's a lot of, unfortunately, seems like there's not a lot of cohesive family units like there used to be, unfortunately. And it's obvious. I mean, you see, everything is an entertainment. It's made fun of. It's just crazy. It's crazy. Y'all see it. You guys know. Don't act like you don't. You see it. You know what I'm talking about. But yeah, get everything out. Just you know, do that. Because once you're committed in that relationship and taking those steps, it's super, super important. It's got to be kept together. Got to be. So, anyways, I'd love to hear from you guys. Let me know what you think. Love to hear your love languages if you've read it. Your thoughts, any thoughts and opinions you've had on what I talked about, let me know. Love to hear from you. If you're on Anchor, leave a message. If you're on Facebook, I have a Facebook page. You can leave a comment on the Facebook page on the Steph Podcast Show or the Twitter. Stuff IDW, Instagram, shoot me a DM, let me know what you think. All right, so thank you guys for listening to this segment. Let's move on to our final segment.
I just had to vent because people who almost kill you on the road act like they're the victim. And when you get mad and you honk at them, like, dude, you almost killed me, they want to flip you off or take a picture or act angry when it's their fault. You did this. And I expressed how irritated I was by it. I didn't cuss you out. I didn't tailgate you. All I did was honk at you to say, hey, you made a mistake. And all you should have done was been like, oh, my bad, I'm sorry. You know, when you put a hand up, like, oh, I'm sorry. Everybody's done it, and you just apologize. No, you want to take a picture of me like I'm the one that did you wrong. I just had to vent because nobody's here, and everybody's at work, and I had to talk to somebody, so.
If I could tell you the amount of times I didn't see people do that same exact thing, I'd be a millionaire. I tell you what. Well, maybe not a millionaire, like a thousandaire, at least. That is an unfortunate reality. I hope you don't mind, Cece, if you listen to this, for me, you know, taking your clip from Instagram, because it was such gold. I had to take that and take that recording and put it on the show, because what you said was, I'm sure, the thoughts of so many people, and you was able to articulate it without using. Without getting too ham about it, which is cool. So, you know, I appreciate that. So I hope you don't mind me using your post as a contribution to this week's episode of the Step Podcast Show. Yeah, there's people that should not have driver's licenses. There are people who just should not be on the road because they are a danger to themselves, the people around them, their families, and mankind in general. They should be ticketed and their licenses revoked. I have some personal opinions on drivers. You know, there's certain people who I think should be given physical drive tests every single year. I think they should be given written tests every single year. You know, there's, you know, I have my own personal opinions, and these are opinions before I started working for the state, the DMV. Now that I work there, oh, most definitely, my opinions on that have increased tenfold. Okay, so yeah, there's people that should not be there driving. They don't have the right. They should not. That right should be. Driving is not a right. It's a privilege. And there's some people who should have that privilege revoked. Okay, because it is ridiculous the way people drive out there. And what Cece was talking about with the whole, you know, they switching lanes, slowly easing over into your lane, right? And then almost hit you, and then they realize they jerk back over into their lane, and you looking at them like, hey, you messed up, you honking, and all of a sudden they look at you like, what? You know, and they be all like, man, stay out of my lane, bro. Like, you almost hit me. It's like, dude, you swerved over into my lane. Okay, and almost hit me. Okay, don't do that. Don't act like you're a victim. Don't do that. You don't know how to drive. You weren't paying attention. You were on your phone. Okay, you know, scrolling the texts that you were looking at, and you got caught, and now you're embarrassed. So you got to act like you're a victim. Okay, that's what happened. Okay, so you need to calm down. Another big driving pet peeve. Oh man, and let me know if some of you guys relate to this. Okay. General rule is this: when you're about to merge on a freeway, on a highway, freeway, whatever, on the road, when you're merging, you are supposed to speed up. Don't match my speed. Don't match my speed when you see me coming, okay? And then don't slow down. What are you doing? You're supposed to speed up, and you're supposed to be going in front of me, okay? You're supposed to be speeding up so you can get in front of me and use your signal. Use your signal. Left click, left lane, click, left signal, click, 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 and you ease on in. And when I see the signal come on, guess what I do? I ease up just a little bit so I can be courteous and give you a little bit of space. Not too much where I'm slowing down enough to back up traffic or mess up the dude behind me, but just enough to let you squeeze in. But I can only do that if you speed up enough for you to get in front of me with ample room and space. Don't match my speed, and don't slow down. And don't match my speed and then all of a sudden try to ram me off playing bumper cars like we're at the county fair. I don't play that, okay? Stop it, okay? That's not okay. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. That's not what we're here for, okay? Learn to drive. Learn to drive. There was one time I was driving on the road and I saw somebody. In fact, it was today. I don't understand sometimes what people see when they're driving. They're sitting there at the light, or they're about to approach the light, and they have they're right in front of me in the other lane, and they're turning. They have the arrow to turn. I don't know how this happened, okay, but this person's driving down the road, smashing, slows down just enough to turn, and wow, hits the stick curb in the turn lane where the light is, and almost clips the light where they're at. How do you do that? You know, what are you doing to where you're totally misjudging the distance between your car and the curb? Like, is there, like, what are you? Like, why are you here? Why are you driving? You know, if you can't measure distance from when you're driving, you don't deserve the drive. I remember my mom told me, she's all, because when I was about 15 or 16, I said, Mom, I want to drive. I want to drive my own car. I want freedom. Mom, yeah. She's like, no, car's a weapon. The car's a dangerous weapon. It's worse than a loaded gun. I'm like, looking at my mom like, you know, you always got to take things so far. You're so extreme. Mom, you know, you can't just, a car is not a weapon. It isn't. It's a motor vehicle that gets you from point A to point A. It ain't no weapon. It doesn't kill people unless you just go out to hurt people and hit people. But it's not a weapon, though. That's a little extreme. Nah, she was absolutely right. Because I've seen some stupid people out there wielding that vehicle like a weapon. It is ridiculous. And I've seen some crazy accidents happen with those people on the road, you know, where you're driving on the highway and you get that dude that's behind you that rides your bumper. Okay, you're already going above the speed limit. You're already eligible to get a ticket, okay, because the flow of traffic is about, generally on a 65, flow of traffic is about 72 miles, right, on a 65 lane. That's the flow of traffic. If you're going the flow of traffic, it's okay. Air quotes happening here, okay? So you're going to flow of traffic, but you got that one dude that wants to go 90, and he decides to go in the far right lane and go 80 and 90 miles an hour, and it starts riding you because he wants you to go because he doesn't want to go around, you know? It's like, bruh, like, you need to go around. You need to go around. And our natural tendency is to do what? Hit our brakes and slow down, because if you hit me, it's automatically your fault, right? No, we can't do that. Don't do that. Okay, but then all of a sudden they go around swerving, smash past you, and they go in front of you and drive off like they did something, you know. It's like, stop. You didn't do nothing special. You need to calm the heck down. Like, cut it out. You didn't prove nothing. You just proved that you shouldn't be on the road. Okay, and my favorite thing that kind of gives me joy. All those dudes that do that, right, and they're not paying attention to the road in front of them. You know, they're not forecasting when they're driving, which means they're looking down the road and looking at the conditions of the road, which is also what you should be doing when you're driving. So they're not paying attention to the traffic jam or the traffic that's there. So, you know, they're riding your bumper and they're just focused on you driving so slow and you pumping your brakes and slowing down. They're mad. So they're you know, go around, you know, speed past you like, run past you, flipping you to bird, and then all of a sudden there's traffic right in front and they gotta stop. Funny. It's like, see, that's what you get because you're dumb. You're dumb. You shouldn't be driving. You don't know any better. You're ridiculous. You know, and then you turn and you give them that look as you drive by, you know, on your right side of the lane, you know, through traffic while they're stopped or super slowing down, and they're just mad at the car, just like, you know, throwing their hands up, like, giving you the bird, like, what? You know, I love that. That's funny to me. Yeah. But yeah, there are definitely people out there that don't deserve to wield that weapon. I agree wholeheartedly. And they should not be driving. So I'm sure you guys have your stories of people that have been driving crazy. I like to hear them on the tweets and on the Facebooks. So leave your comments. Let me know your thoughts. Let me know of your experiences. If you've seen any crazy accidents, let me know. I think those would make some interesting stories. I'd love to hear from you guys. I might actually go back and do an episode on that, just, to talk about you guys' crazy stories and things that you've seen when driving. Because, again, it's crazy out there, y'all. People drive crazy when it starts raining. I really think a chemical imbalance happens when it starts raining, because people just start driving dumb in the rain. And it's funny, it's because they either drive super slow because they're trying to be super cautious, or they drive super fast because they're trying to get out of the rain faster, thus making it more dangerous. It's like your line of reasoning is flawed. Don't do that. Calm down, drive normal. You should be, just taking your time. You'll get there. So people don't get that. That's why during rains and weather and stuff, bad weather, accidents go up when it rains and when it storms and all that stuff. People try to get out of there in a hurry, not being patient, thinking about themselves. You see that? See that? See what happens? Love and respect are not acknowledged. People get hurt, period, all day. That's what happens. So, anyways, love to hear what you guys got. Love to hear what you guys say about that, okay? That is going to wrap it up for this week on this week's episode of the Stuff Podcast Show. I really, really, really appreciate you guys sticking it out for this long. Thank you for those of you who have been loyally listening, and all over the world, Bangladesh, UK, here in America, out in the Bay Area, yay! All you guys who are out there listening, your local people, love you guys very much for listening. And again, let's keep making this thing bigger. Until next week's episode, I will catch y'all on the flip side. You guys take care. Have a great rest of the week. Take care, guys. Deuces.